Hey, America,
start listening now.
So we've relocated. We are securely ensconced in the official 12 Points from America bunker.
Basically my boyfriend's basement.
Mm-hmm. In South Minneapolis. I can hear sirens, which either means that the nukes are on their way or Lithuania's entry is on the way. So we gotta start the episode now.
And welcome back to another rousing episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America, the real home of Lithuanian basketball players. I'm Eric.
I'm Samantha.
I'm Derek.
And I'm Danny.
Oh, we've got so much to go over this week.
It's mostly Lithuanian content.
Yeah.
Because Eric did make us listen to Playa.
Yeah,
before.
And it wasn't the plan to make it mostly Lithuanian content. It's just what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. We'll get to that in just a sec.
We're sorry. And we're not apologizing. We're just sorry people.
This is what happens when you live so close to Canada.
That's mm-hmm. right. Yeah. There's something in the air in the 12 Points for America bunker, I feel like.
Recycled.
Yeah. Anyway, if you are still listening, first of all, thanks for sticking through whatever happened
through
just now.
All this.
Yeah. And please feel free to check us out on social media. We are on Twitter and Facebook at 12 Points USA. That's 12 Points USA. Give us an email sending activity at 12pointsforamerica@gmail.com. I don't know how to describe the email. Or just go to 12pointsforamerica.com where there is still a photo of Danny reacting. I didn't know.
We need to... Honestly, I'm sad at myself that we didn't take a picture of Danny reacting to Playa.
But that's true.
It wasn't
good. It wasn't a happy face.
It was amusing.
I think it was decidedly neutral until 5 seconds in.
Okay. we'll get to that in a moment. Also want to mention, if you're listening on iTunes or on Spotify or wherever you listen, we would love it if you gave us a review.
Ideally, a good review.
Yeah. Hopefully, yeah, good. Yeah. I didn't think about that, but yeah, give us a good review. And yeah, let us know what you think of the show. That sort of feedback is good. We get more information back from the podcasting sources when more people review us. So yeah, if you are a fan and haven't given us a glowing review, please do that.
Yep.
That'd be great.
And also do us a favor, tell your friends, especially at this season of Eurovision where we all want to share the goodness and the weirdness with each other. We would really love it if you shared our little podcast with your friends, especially in this Eurovision family that we have going on. So
yeah, of your friends.
All of them.
And if you don't share this podcast with 10 of your friends, horrible bad luck will befall you.
That's true. Anyway, let's see. We don't have any other intro stuff, so we should just jump right into the news. Oh my God, we have like 2 pages of news.
And this is early in the selection
season,
really.
It's January. Jeez.
Yeah.
All right. So, first things first, we have a new Jan Ulasan.
It's Jan Ulasan 2.0.
It's like Jan Ulasan.
It's like, it's like how different actors like are the new Bond. Like mm-hmm. Jan Ulasan is a title. It's a role.
I like to think of him as the doctor, really.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, good. So, the 12th Jan Ulasan will be Martin Osterdahl.
He is a Swedish television producer.
Imagine that.
I know. Author as well, but he was really at the helm of the Eurovision contests that were held in Sweden in 2013 and 2016, so he's got experience with Eurovision.
And he's an author?
He is an
what
author.
What did he write? Did he write For Whom the Bell Tolls?
No, he wrote Girl with a Dragon Tattoo.
Oh, that's right. That guy didn't die. He just became Martin Osterdahl.
He just regenerated, stepped out of his TARDIS, and started lead Eurovision.
That makes so much sense. Let's see. Semi-final allocation draw.
Yeah.
This is the thing where we find out which semi is going to be stacked to the point where Belgium gets screwed again.
Yeah.
Yep. Again.
Well, and Poland.
No, not Belgium.
Basically, we're just going to see, whoever's going first is going to get yoinked right away. Mm-hmm. I mean, semifinals are a little bit more forgiving, but just excited to see who gets put with who.
Yeah.
And actually, from a logistical standpoint, it's also really important information for the delegations to know, especially if you are drawn second half of the second semifinal, that is 3 days of hotel that you and your delegation don't have to pay for. So if you are a delegation that doesn't have a lot of money, fly in a little bit later, sleep in, enjoy the city a little bit more, a little bit less stress. It's kind of cool to see everything kind of take shape.
It's Rotterdam. They can hole up in a shipping container for 3 days.
That's probably what San Marino will do.
It's one of the best Airbnbs in the entire city.
It's just a shipping container.
A shipping container with like 2 sleeping bags and a cardboard box.
Yeah.
They'll still charge you $600 a night.
I know, if I know.
Yeah. But yeah, 4 stars probably.
4 stars.
Yeah,
Netherlands has some very good news for us considering their interval acts.
Yeah, no more Madonna!
It's going to be Dutch only, which narrows down so many potential disasters.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Who's the Dutch Madonna?
Madonna.
Oh, I wish I had a zinger ready for this.
I know, I know.
Absolutely. I only know like 2 Dutch celebrities.
And who are they?
Like Michiel Huisman and...
Duncan Lawrence.
Gold member. From Austin Powers and Gold member. Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
They did announce an act. This isn't an interval act exactly, but the flag parade is going to be accompanied by Peter Gabriel.
But I thought we said it was Dutch artists only.
Well, here's the thing. There's a new Peter Gabriel, and he's Pieter Gabriel.
Oh, your Dutch is impeccable.
Thanks.
Dankeschön.
somebody's been lapsing on their Duolingo.
So, I have not, for the record. I have got like a 30-day streak going right now.
Yeah, in French.
In French, which is why I said it like Pieter Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
But Pieter is a 15-year-old DJ.
That's almost as cool as the guy who did Sledgehammer. They also have said that... The Dutch delegation, the Dutch organizers, will be inviting every single living Dutch representative in Eurovision history to the final.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Which is kind of like when the Oscars did that thing where they got every living Oscar winner on stage for acting that one time.
Yeah.
That was cool.
And it took like 8 minutes to get through everyone. Is this going to be...
Yeah,
is
but
just going to be
of that
the...
was just Kirk Douglas.
I will say. and Olivia de Havilland walking out on her crutches.
Yeah. Whalen and Whalen.
Oh, man.
Whalen, and then he's going to do a quick costume change into proto-Whalen.
Yeah. Pre-Whalen.
Mm-hmm. Now,
kinda wish I had
let's
said
get
that.
To the French performer.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Well,
so,
I look up a picture of this guy.
Okay, so like we said, I've been taking French. I'm going to take a shot at this guy's name.
Bonne chance.
All right. Tom Lieb. Did I do it?
That's got to be it.
I did it!
I think so.
Tom
it might
Lieb.
Be like Lay. It might be Lab.
Tom Lieb.
Well, no, you don't pronounce the last letter, so it's just Tom Lieb.
You guys say that this guy is ridiculously good-looking. I think he's ridiculously good-looking in an almost oppressive sense. I'm getting, like, The Bachelor Season 18 vibes from this guy.
Hmm.
Would you give him his... Would you give him a rose?
No! Get this guy out of here. He's giving me Ari Leyendek.
That's a Dutch name.
Yeah!
Oh, yeah.
There's a celebrity.
Yeah.
I know 3. So, apparently, does he sing well, Sam?
I think so, yeah.
He's got an one album.
Yep, released his first album last year, mostly in English, interestingly enough, which is very interesting for a French artist at Eurovision. He's the son of a well-known actor and comedian on the French scene, and he's a popular YouTuber where he's been doing a lot of comedy routines.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Ain't we pleased his punch.
Yeah.
I think the comedy will actually help, though.
Yeah.
Like, the performance side of things, he's probably going to be a little bit more loose.
He can probably read crowds a lot better.
Yeah. He'll probably be great in the press center in terms of his interviews. His English is impeccable.
And when he gets heckled, it's going to be fantastic.
Can't wait. So yeah, we don't have the song or any details on that yet, but we just have him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of okay with that.
That's and that's half the battle. We also have North Macedonia's singer. Do we also have North Macedonia's song?
We do not have his song yet. But, and the thing about Vasil Garvanliev, I think he's just going by Vasil, but Vasil Garvanliev, he was a backing singer for Tamara Tedeska with Proud last year for North Macedonia. He's experienced with both pop and opera. He's a trained classical operatic vocalist, but he's done pop as well. So I have no idea what the heck he's going to send.
Huh. So he's Jacques Hudak.
Maybe he's only half the man that Jacques Hudak is.
Are we talking
just
literally
physically?
That's the joke.
I haven't seen a picture of him, so I wouldn't know.
No, he's a good-looking guy. Got a couple of singles out. I highly recommend his song, Patuvam, which means I travel, which me being
I travel.
I travel.
It's
and I'm,
way easier to say on your dating profile.
Mm-hmm. I know, Patuvam.
Patuvam.
Mm-hmm. Patuvam, Patuvam. Keep talking.
Yeah,
we have Czechia's songs.
Yes.
Yeah, we do.
Good, and we're disappointed that we all poop.
Which,
is
all the
not,
blood.
What was the genre that we wanted?
Planned coincidence punk pop.
Yeah, planned coincidence punk pop.
And
that's
that is
not,
them.
That is them. Okay.
So that's
yeah.
All right.
But it's unfortunately not.
Yeah.
It's not like John Cage avant-garde.
No.
It's good.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy it.
I'm not big on it. I don't know why. I don't know. I don't think it's that great. I think that there are better songs in the selection. But it's a really, there are some really good songs that aren't going to be in Eurovision from them. Yeah, honestly.
I don't think there's a bad song in the bunch, personally. Some are more memorable than others, but there are no clunkers.
We exhort you to look them up because you, that's right, you, whoever you are, can vote.
Even me?
You can vote on their song.
Wow.
Can my cat vote?
Do a Google search or, like a Baidu search, whatever you're using. Alta Vista. Maybe you're from 1998.
You can ask Jeeves.
Lycos, you know.
Oh, wow.
WebMD. Your... Anyway, search
up. Looking up, we all poop all the blood. Yes. On WebMD. Okay.
On WebMD.
Yeah. All right.
So for the record, if you go to the Eurovision app, you can also just listen to the songs there.
Yes. Yes.
And not look it up on WebMD. Mm-hmm. But maybe look it up on WebMD just to be sure you're okay.
Yeah. But you can vote. It's not restricted to the country, not even Europe. We here in America can vote.
I'm genuinely having a hard time figuring out which one I'm going to pick. Because I only get one vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Only
and
one.
This is America. One vote.
That's right. Yeah. Anyway, the... My Jeff Goldblum impression just,
The Czech Republic finds a way.
That's right.
Crisscrossing Europe, we go from France to North Macedonia to Czechia to Denmark now.
Yeah. Yes. So we've got some of the songs for Denmark, actually. So kind of like Norway that we mentioned in the last episode.
Don't let them hear you say that.
Huh?
Much like Norway, stop it, we are nothing like Norway, they say in Denmark. That's how they say it.
It's on their flag.
I was wondering what that was.
They're, however, untelevised. C-SPAN is not allowed in.
But they're doing these regional heats, not really televised. They're sort of a radio final / internet final. 9 songs in 3 geographic regions of the country. 3 will go through on a public vote. 2 more will get a jury wildcard. So out of the 9 songs, 5 will go through. So, F you those 4 other songs.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And those 5 qualifiers from that first round will join 5 automatic qualifiers in the big old national final on March 7th. So yes, find it online. There's some pretty good tracks in there.
Yeah, there's a lot of acoustic stuff. It's a lot more like folk than pop on a lot of the songs.
Yeah.
I thought. I don't know if that's something that Denmark is just going for this year or something like that. But there aren't really a lot of bops.
But then again, we don't know what those 5 mysterious qualifiers automatically are going to be like.
That's true.
They could be bops, they could be ballads, they could be opera.
We, 5 Rasmussens.
Rasmussen.
Rasmussi.
Rasmussi. Oh yeah. That's a plural of Rasmussen,
sure.
Right?
Rasmussens.
Yeah.
Check those songs out too. They're quite nice.
Yeah.
Some good ones there.
We've got the artists and song titles for Finland.
Yes.
They'll release a song a day starting Friday, January 24th.
Mm-hmm.
Those will just trickle out one by one. Again, we only have names, but we have a standout so far.
Yes, so there was a song that hit streaming services before it was supposed to.
Gasp!
And it's by, I'm guessing it's pronounced Femme, but it's spelled F3M. Or they just hate that company that's down the road from here.
You know what? F3M!
Yeah, that's right. It's called Bananas. It is somewhere between Spice Girls and like Little Mix, something like that. It is,
Ooh, why don't you combine 2 things I hate?
Oh, well, yeah, no, you're not gonna like this song.
Okay, definitely.
I like this song. It is maybe the biggest bop of the season so far.
And it gives you 25% of your daily requirement of potassium.
Oh, yeah. Just listen to it 4 times and you don't have to eat. F3M!
Good for them.
Yeah.
All right.
Excited to see what else they have in store in Finland, but I am especially excited to see... Do they have like a live televised national final?
So yeah, March 7th is going to be the grand final for Finland's UMK Uuden Musiikin Kilpailu. New music festival.
Nice. So, hey,
yeah.
There's a new music
all
festival.
Right.
So we will get to see that staged at least once.
Yes.
So if it doesn't make it, fine. I feel like it has a shot.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that we've learned throughout the years and we're kind of beginning to see at this national final season. Just because a song doesn't go to Eurovision, that doesn't mean the song disappears. You can still love a song that doesn't make it to the big show. It's still awesome. Mm-hmm. It's still brilliant. You can still love it. Or kind of ironically hate love it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Lithuanian basketball player. But those songs will never disappear.
With me. Anyway, let's see.
We still have 3 countries on our Indiana Jones crisscross of Europe to get to before we get to Lithuania. Let's go to Germany.
Germany? Yep. Well, after what happened last year, I'm assuming these things are connected.
Yes.
They're going back to an internal selection, it appears.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You can watch our TV special, Unser Lied für Rotterdam.
Yeah, so we just found out about that recently, that at first there wasn't anything on the schedule, and now we realize that there's this 45-minute program scheduled on a secondary network for February 27th, but the show is only 45 minutes long, which is not nearly enough for a full-on national final, mm-hmm. so I think most people are expecting it to be just a long, extended artist interview mm-hmm. and song premiere.
Couldn't it's, possibly just be like three songs, maybe?
But if it's a voting system, like how, you know, if, it's,
how
if, it's,
possibly...
if it's 3 minutes per song, and you know, you do the math, carry the one, and commercials. Germany, we don't know who they're picking. It could be Allie Ryan. It could be Rammstein. We don't know.
Please let it be Rammstein.
Please let it be Rammstein.
It will definitely be one of those two.
Rammstein is doing... Isn't the theory that they have, like, a summer tour that, like, tellingly does not start until, like, May?
End Late of May. May. So, yeah. So obviously
maybe Rammstein is going to be the German. Mm-hmm.
Do you know, it's a band with six members, mm-hmm. so that part's good.
Mm-hmm. Pyrotechnics would be off the chain.
Mm-hmm.
They have a treadmill.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it's logical.
Yeah.
They haven't done anything since my brother played the Matrix soundtrack on heavy repeat in 2000.
That is not true.
Moving on, we have songs and artists from Iceland.
Yeah. So we do have the 10 artists and their songs for the Icelandic National Final. Songvakit mi songvarsins, I think it's pronounced. It's Icelandic. It's not easy. Two semifinals will lead to a single national final. Really very exciting. Interestingly enough, at the semifinals, the artists have to sing in Icelandic. And in the final, people can switch to English if that is what they plan on bringing to the international level.
Why?
Because the artist gets to pick whether they want to sing in Icelandic or English, or Latin or Yiddish or whatever they want.
But not during the semifinal.
At the semifinal, then it's in Icelandic.
But why?
Local market.
Tradition.
No. Out of the 10 artists, about 4 of them, I believe, have versions that are only in Icelandic, and the rest do have alternate versions in English. So,
do we have any clear Hatari-influenced acts in here?
Not directly. I think people are looking at Dima. That's probably the closest, like, hard-hitting act. It's more of a metal act. We do have a couple of interesting names that are returning to the competition. Matti Matt. So Matthias Matthiasen, but his buddies call him Matti Matt. He was a member of Sioni's Friends, who sang the song Coming Home in Dusseldorf in 2011. We also have a couple of returnees to the national final,
including Daddy Freyr.
Yeah!
My favorite...
Come on, Dan.
You got it.
Norse god on Grindr.
Well done.
You did it.
Tried.
You won the show. You win the show. Have this blanket.
Ah, thanks.
It's so cold in here.
Get out of here.
Wow.
Yeah, but Daddy Freyr had a great song in the national final in 2017, came in second place. Check it out if you haven't had the chance to. It is basically a song about two introverted geeks falling in love, and I love it for so, so many reasons.
Is there an early standout in this field?
I think a lot of people have been looking at Eva and her song Oculus Videre. So the song is actually partially in Latin, which is interesting.
Hmm.
It's just like one of those late 90s Gregorian chants.
It kind of feels a little bit like that.
Oh, no. Okay.
This like, song is out, though?
The songs are all out, both the Icelandic version, the English version, the karaoke versions, if you just want to put your Italian lyrics over it.
Start practicing now, America.
Yep. but yeah, there's some good stuff in there. So yeah, check out the goodness in Iceland.
All right, we're getting closer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Latvia.
All right.
They've got their finalists.
That's true. Moving on. I'm really pleased with what Latvia went with.
Yeah.
I mentioned in the last show, or maybe it was the show before, there was this little kind of subdued sort of thing by this girl called...
Celeste, right?
The song's called Like Me, and I figured, this has no chance because it's just, I don't know. It's a good song, but it's just not going to play well to this sort of thing. But no, it made the final.
Yeah.
That's super exciting. And I think pretty much all of my favorites from Latvia made it in. We got Polyester by Anna.
Yeah,
by Leo Tolstoy. That's great.
Yeah, Bad Habits Sail With You, which I absolutely love. That sort of kind of Mumfordy kind of vibe.
That one's cool.
Yeah.
That one's cool. Tritomite also made it.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite mineral-based songs.
Katrina DeMonta with Heartbeats.
Mm-hmm.
Our Arzumiecki alumna.
And Still Breathing.
Is still breathing.
This one, I think, is already a bit of a divisive song among this group.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fun.
You love it. I don't.
That's, yep, moving on.
Maybe, you know what, I think it might just be some sort of latent jealousy that I want to be the only Samantha in the press center.
Listen, you have an H. She doesn't.
That's true.
And they can never take that away from you, as far as I know.
A surprising couple of dropouts from the national final, not making it to the championship level. Marcus Riva, his song Impossible, did not progress onto the televised round.
Should have been better.
And Madara Marazeme, also not progressing through, even though she had a really fantastic song. It looks like all of the songs that are remaining in the national final are all in English, which is kind of...
good.
Hey.
Not enough options. I will say, going back to, it's not called t-shirts, it's called polyester, right?
It is.
Okay, yeah. So t-shirts, I've noticed this in a few other national final, like early reveals and things like that, that the genre I'm going to loosely define as sounds like Billie Eilish is making a decent number of appearances.
I see.
Mm.
And it reminds me a bit of Rhythm Inside, one of Danny's favorites. Put that rhythm in there. That was very Lorde-esque, right? When Royals was hitting its peak, that there was, I feel, a little bit of an influence there. And I'm wondering how many songs we're going to get into the big show that have that kind of minimalistic pop, slightly whispered Billie Eilish sort of vocal to them.
It's not out of the realm of possibility, considering that people will vote for the things that they like. And
exactly.
What is on the pop charts right now are things that people, by definition, mm-hmm. kind of like.
Yeah. Billie Eilish isn't in Eurovision, so let's just vote for the thing that sounds the most like that.
Makes sense
Maybe.
To me.
If that song makes it for Latvia, I would be entirely fine with that.
I'd be okay.
That would be fun and a little bit weird, which is the best kind of Eurovision song.
I'm just looking forward to seeing what kind of swag.
Ooh.
It's like some people give out, you know, the CDs or, you know, a USB drive or a cup of coffee or something. What would those polyester? I mean, some sort of t-shirt, right?
T-shirts. Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, Danny, what country's next?
Moldova.
Oh, wait, no, you skipped one.
You lie.
Did I?
You skipped, yeah, I'm pretty sure you
skipped. All right, we're going to do Lithuania.
Lithuania. Heat 2 is done. We have some more qualifiers.
We do. We've got 6 of them.
One of these is, I think, already being talked about as a definite favorite for them. I'm not saying people have put it exactly this way, but a better than usual song from Lithuania.
Oh, no. Well, who is it?
It's, I don't know her name.
I actually...
So it's, yeah, Monique with the Make Me Human. Hearing a bit of buzz about that one being popular. It's a plea from those San Marinese robots.
Wow.
Want to be a real boy. But that doesn't matter.
In my opinion, the eliminated acts include one that belongs in the garbage.
No. You lie.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Eric would like to save this one from the garbage.
I would.
It should be noted that if the public had their way... Tusum with Playa would have qualified.
Oh, this song is... We love Euro Nero. We do, but it's not a good song.
Derek is looking at Danny right now like...
Very quizzically.
You do what now?
You know, in the way that, you know, love and hate are just manifestations of the same emotion. They're not, but I'm just going to go with it for the sake of this argument.
Sure thing, Dr.
This, this just turned into The View, by the way.
This is a garbage song. I loved watching it. This is hot garbage. I hate it. So the song is by Tusum. It's called Playa, or as I thought it was, Playa. Educational song about Spanish beaches, but instead it is about Lithuania and its basketball players, according to the lyrics. But the lyrics don't make any sense. This song is off the rails. The staging is fine. It's funny.
They know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, they know what they're doing, and what they're doing isn't going to win Eurovision. They should get out of here.
You know what we should do?
It's a sacred church that we have right here.
We should go to our next country. So
what? Are we going to throw it to Playa?
I think we have to.
Now that you've suggested it, Danny, I think we have to.
Yeah, so at Danny's request, here is Playa by Tusum.
I'm a Lithuanian basketball player. Come on, raise your hands and clap with me. I'm a Lithuanian basketball player. Put down your hands and dance with me.
Back now, imagine that song being played while a man with a broken fiddle in a yellow suit is basically doing a lazy floss dance while a man is lifting up his shirt and showing a basketball painted on his tummy.
It's amazing!
This song is wild in the stupidest way.
You know what? There is a place in the world for silly, stupid fun. And I think Lithuania is that place.
It's called the semifinals.
Yeah. Please watch the video. Their back projections are entirely Windows 98 specialty screensavers. Please, let's move on to Moldova.
Okay. Oh, yeah, because you turn to Moldova when you want sanity and normalcy. And
listen, they saved my life with colored doors.
So, yes, Moldova has revealed their long list of contenders. We'll have a live audition process for them to kind of narrow things down to.
Oh, my God, is it even worth mentioning all of them?
No, not all of them, but there are a couple of big names, or big names by Moldovan standards, which means people who have done Eurovision in the past. Mm-hmm. We had Geta Borlachu, who sang in 2008, Natalia Gordienko, who performed 2006. Interestingly enough, it looks like her song was written by the team behind Scream.
Among others,
but just recently, Scream.
This is the Russian song.
Does that mean it's
Nev Campbell movie?
That one guy?
Philip Kirkorov?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Greek guy, too, right? The one of the most prolific, successful pop artists. He wrote, You're the Only One and Cross My Heart and a couple of other...
Dimitris Kontopoulos.
Yeah. I was shocked at how many songs he wrote recently.
I launch off some fireworks. Or whatever the lyrics are. I didn't hate that song.
That's a Cher song.
Okay.
Yeah, but
is Cher Dutch, by the way?
Okay, no, we're safe.
She's not. Good. All right, we're good. The Pasha Parfeni?
Pasha Parfeni, who's one of my personal favorites. He sang for them in 2012 and then wrote the 2013 song.
I had a good Pasha Parfeni in Brussels.
God. We also have, is it Denis Madone, or are we going like Denis Midone?
I think it's Denis Madone.
Okay.
But he was
a junior alum.
Indeed. They grow up so fast.
Yes.
Yeah, but 2012, so obviously he's old enough to do Eurovision now.
Mm-hmm. Unless he was five.
Six. Yeah.
I think there's a minimum age on junior, but all right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So we'll find out more of that soon enough. A couple of those songs have been released. So I'm sure if you look in your local streaming service, and by local I mean, global and overarching and inescapable streaming service,
right.
You can find them. Norway's Melody Grand Prix rolls on.
Yeah, it does.
So last week we saw Rain Alexander's One Last Time qualify.
That song is really weird.
Do tell. I was out of the state. I didn't actually watch the show. So Eric,
imagine Rasmussen from Higher Ground, Denmark.
Yeah.
Except it's 15 years later.
Oh no.
And the world ended.
Oh, so it's like Robin Williams in Jumanji.
Yeah, kind
of. After he comes back.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. This is a movie podcast now.
Great. Norway's third semifinal is going to be just from central Norway, which is from Trondheim to Islington.
I can't tell if you're joking or not.
Please give all of your... Please at me on Twitter, because I'm not on Twitter!
If you are watching the 10-hour train ride along the coast of Norway, it's from about hour 2.5 to hour 4.
All right. Lovely.
Those are easily in my top 6 or 7 hours.
All right, we're done to the last three bits of things.
Yep.
Yep, yep,
Portugal.
Yep.
Portugal's got songs and singers.
Yep. Mm-hmm. A lot of variety, a lot of great songs in there.
Yep.
Excited to see that.
Yeah, what are you liking in that one, Sam?
My personal favorites, actually, my two favorites are both in the first semifinal, which will be on February 22nd. I've got to go with Blasted's Rebellion. Interestingly enough, the only one in English. So a little bit more of a rich kind of rock sound. Also big on Barbara Tinoco's Passepartout, which has a sort of like classic, almost French vibe.
Yes, it's extremely French. It's in Portuguese, but it is very French.
Yes.
Yeah.
So some great stuff. Some really interesting, nice cross-section of the Portuguese music today. I love Festival de Canção for that.
Yeah, it's pretty all over the place. I want to give a shout out to the one that gives me Igranka vibes.
Is it Movimento?
Movimento, yes. I like that one.
Nice.
I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying I like it.
That's half of the battle with Eurovision.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those songs are up on YouTube, and I believe your normal streaming services as well. Go listen, enjoy, like what you like. It's all good.
Mm-hmm.
We also have Ukraine, who did not select Maruv.
So there's no Maruv to watch this week.
No Maruv to watch.
Yet. Russia does announce in March.
Wow.
Yeah. So last week we were talking so much about We All Poop. So there's no Maruv to watch in Ukraine's Vidbir this year, but we have an asshole.
Mm-hmm. We have an asshole.
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 Yes.
Oh God, I'm surrounded by asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Just the one. Nothing more to say about that.
Comes from a long line of assholes.
Yes.
Nope, I can't make a joke about this.
Nope. I did it. Nope. I ended humor.
Yep, it's dead. A couple songs are filtering out from the Vidbir selection. I'm going to point out the song Black Square by the sister act Faux Show, which is...
That's what it's supposed to be. I thought it was Block Squire. you know, like the assistant to the knight who lives
down the block.
Like, you know, like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just to Jenny from the block.
Yes.
The block.
Your block squire, yeah.
Your block squire, yeah.
He helps you into your gauntlets. He hands you your lance.
It's about time somebody wrote a song about the block squire. And
I'm glad that Ukraine is doing it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what is block squire
What is block squire like?
That is something like, it is absolute American style hip hop that is both very current and yet at the same time gives me a total 90s vibe.
Like a Paula Abdul kind of vibe?
No. More like...
Lauryn Hill vibe?
More rap.
Oh, okay.
But like great
Cypress Hill.
Yeah, three girls with great wordplay. And then when they do break into musical, like actual sung verse, it's beautiful harmonies together. Not what you would expect from Ukraine, but really quite brilliant. So
I can't wait to see.
Yeah, it's really, really good. So we don't, like I say, have a Maruv watch this week because, well...
Maruv is canceled, you guys. Friendship with Maruv ended. Now...
Our best friend is Mons! Mons! He's on the BBC.
Indeed he is.
Doing a British quiz show.
Yeah. Yeah, he pops up on the BBC every once in a while. He lives in London now, actually, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, Mons Emilio will be on a special edition of the British game show Pointless, a Eurovision-focused episode of the show, which I'm really excited about.
He's not the only one either, is he?
Who else is going to be there?
It's a cavalcade of stars.
Yes. Olesund in a dress?
Oh, we can only hope.
Yeah, okay.
It's like the Star Wars holiday special.
Right, VR3 is still there.
So much cocaine.
Maybe.
So Mons will be teamed up with Niamh Kavanagh, who won for Ireland in 93 and then participated again in 2010 for Ireland. John Lundvik will be paired up with Jade Ewan, who represented the UK in 2009.
Ooh, okay.
And is a member of the Sugar Babes now, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Donna, who represented Ireland in 1970, so Donna Domestic as opposed to Donna International, the Israeli singer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, you have to go out of DC to get to Donna Domestic.
Yeah. She'll be paired up with Suri.
Okay. Okay, yes.
And then you have Mike Nolan and Jay Aston, who were members of Bucks Fizz, who won for the UK in 1981.
That's right, yeah.
So that is Eurovision Pointless.
That's stacked. That's pretty good.
I need to see this.
When is this happening?
I am not exactly sure when it's going to air, but I'm assuming it'll probably be around the time of Eurovision proper.
At one point, are they just going to like stop the show and then like lift a backdrop and the butter churning is going to be happening?
I would pay good money to watch that.
I hope so.
This is what our BBC license fee, or not our BBC license fee, but your BBC license fee gets you if you're British. So yeah, and he's also going to be a special guest and a judge on Australia Decides at the national final for the Aussies.
It's like Sophie's Choice, but for Australia. I think I made that joke last time.
Yeah.
That's fine. It's fine. It's an okay joke.
Sophie's Decision.
Yeah, it looks like Mons will actually be duetting with Dami Im during the show, so that is definitely a reason for us to get up at the crack of dawn American time and watch.
Reason for you too.
Because I missed the show last year, and I'm kicking myself for not having been able to watch, just because I like to sleep. And that, I think, after
that's
like
it for our episode.
For our
it's
news.
Been 55
yeah.
minutes.
Oh my God.
And see you guys. You can.
We do actually have a little small topic to cover.
We mentioned him last week. We mentioned him last week, I think, just once, possibly in passing. This man's name is Ralph Siegel.
Jonathan Livingston Ralph Siegel.
This is a flock of Jonathan Livingston Ralph Siegels.
We have described him as the man, the myth, the legend. I like to believe he is a man, a myth, and an urban legend, because I believe if you look into a darkened mirror and say his name five times, he appears.
Really?
Which accounts for why he has done so much stuff in Eurovision.
Ralph Siegel. I'm scared. I don't want to do it.
Okay. Yeah. Thing is, he also appears with a knife.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Just got through one and a half.
Yes.
So they got Valentina to come back for A Spirit in the Night.
That's right. So, Sam, tell us about Mr. Siegel. When did he begin his stranglehold on the Eurovision community?
Honestly, it started not necessarily with him, but with his father.
Gotcha. So, now, we should qualify, this man is not a performer. This man is mostly a writer. This man is behind the scenes, but he is the true puppet master of Eurovision.
Well, he was, at least.
This is a man who we have encountered in the credits for all of these countries and songs and stagings and Eurovision festivals since the beginning of time, it seems.
Yeah. Ralph Siegel is a songwriter, he's a record producer, composer, who has had his hand in the Eurovision pot since 1974, and has had song after song after song for country after country after country. It almost seems like constantly, until 2017 was his most recent.
Mm-hmm.
But he started participating in national finals as early as 1972. So it's been an ongoing ongoing saga. Like I mentioned before, his father was also a songwriter as well.
So the dynasty started early.
Yeah, his dad actually co-wrote Germany's entry for 1957 called Telephone, Telephone, which you can argue is like one of the earliest gimmick songs at Eurovision.
What was
like,
a gimmick? I mean, I'm guessing it involves telephones, indeed. But I wish to know more.
In a song contest that is basically just stand on stage and sing, there were props. She brought a telephone.
This was basically the telephone hour from Bye Bye Birdie.
Did you hear about Ralph Siegel?
Yeah, I hear he got pinned. I was hoping he would.
Did he pin the pin on? Or was he too shy?
He was too shy. I was like, am I the only Bye Bye Birdie diehard in this
world? I was a Mrs. Mac. Okay. I was Mrs. McAfee my senior year.
I was Mr. McAfee in high school. Isn't this just...
So Telephone, Telephone was the German song in 1957 written by his father. Ralph would have been a tender 12 years old at the time.
Mm-hmm. Aww.
Yeah. By 1972, he was tossing songs to German national finals.
He could have been in junior Eurovision in the 50s. I know that wasn't a thing. Please continue. Just talk over
me. Now I'm thinking about what we could have had.
Pass.
A Soviet basketball player. Yeah.
The thing that is interesting for me, I'll use interesting very elastically here.
In the Minnesota sense of interesting.
Yes, I will prove the malleability of the English language here, is not only that he's a prolific mm-hmm. songwriter, but that his songs, well, many of them are, you know, trash, as you get when you are prolific. He's won, and he's come close to winning many times.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. He won, actually, in 1982 for Germany with the song Ein bisschen Frieden, a little piece by, mm-hmm. by Nicole, which is a very sort of sweet and uplifting little peace ballad, you know, sung by a pretty blonde-haired girl, a schoolgirl kind of, and very, very sweet. Dann seh ich die Wolken, die über uns sind, und höre die Schreie der Vögel im Wind. Ich singe aus Angst vor dem Dunkeln mein Lied und hoffe, dass nichts geschieht. But he had second places in 1980, 1981, 1987, and just kept having hit after hit after hit after hit. And up until basically around 1999, he was a certifiable Eurovision hitmaker.
The Get. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, he was the Get.
Has he ever had a song compete against himself?
Ooh, in the same year?
Yeah.
I'm not sure about at
yes,
Eurovision.
Actually. Oh, yes, he
okay,
has, actually.
Because I was going to say, the 24 songs, that's over a third of all the contests.
Mm-hmm. In 1980, he faced off against himself and came in both second and ninth with his songs.
Jeez. This man, he even finishes mm-hmm. in the top 10 when he's doubling mm-hmm. up his songs.
Right.
Yeah, so from 1974, which was his first year, to 1982, which was the year that he won, he had 6 top 10s.
That's
which
really
is wild.
Impressive.
Really, really wild.
This man has the magic touch.
For a time.
But then...
For a time. Now, did he write the song Chinggis Khan?
Yeah.
He did.
I love that because... That is, I believe, if you have listened to our Down the Eurovision Hole episode.
Mm.
Episode 5, I believe. Finish this one, then go back.
That is one of the two songs I knew from Eurovision before discovering Eurovision. Genghis Khan is wild.
Indeed.
We will also say Moscow, which did not win.
Well, Moscow wasn't actually at Eurovision. That was the follow-up single by Genghis Khan of Genghis Khan.
Mm-hmm. And he did write it, though, right?
He did. Mm-hmm. You know, can we just throw to a little segment of Genghis Khan?
Oh,
you
got
your ass, we can.
Yes! Derek! Genghis Khan. I know, the reason why I know 79 is because it feels like I'm looking at the set from Logan's Run. Like, it's
the
like,
mask
yeah. the rotating, like, half sphere with the band on it, and it's just, like, orange. I'm like, this is 70s dystopia right here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
And he went right from 70s dystopia to 80s dystopia.
Yes.
The very following year for Luxembourg.
Well, yeah, but like I mentioned, in 80, he came in second place with the song Theater, or Theater, by Katja Ebstein for Germany. But for Luxembourg, he served up a song called Papa Penguin, which was a special, special moment. And
Please describe this to me, because I'm not familiar.
Oh, we'll do better than describe
with
it.
Papa Penguin. Derek. Papa Penguin, Papa Penguin.
Bang!
that's the man has his hits, the man has his misses.
The thing is, though, that was a hit not only in 1980, but that actually had a second life as a hit.
Oh, for what reason?
It was sort of like one of those novelty children's songs that kind of had a crossover appeal back in 2006. It actually reached number one on the French charts.
Oh, wow. You know, just like how the Bob the Builder theme song was big.
Like a Christmas number one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a same deal, only by a little computerized penguin named Pigloo.
Ah, Penguin.
Yes.
I just want to note, the top comment on the YouTube video for this song is, in French, Bilal Hassani just has to behave.
What?
I don't know.
I think it's because Papa Penguin kind of looks like Bilal Hassani.
The glasses kind of.
Yeah, if only Bilal Hassani was, what, 6'7"?
Yeah.
And wearing a penguin suit?
Yeah.
No,
anyway.
Has Ralph Siegel's career ended in the 80s?
It kept on rolling.
In a way.
This man. In a way.
No, he kept on rolling on. He had two top 10 hits, actually three in the 90s, including two third place hits with 1994's Wir geben a Party, or We're Giving a Party, by Mikado, which is a...
Oh, the Mikado.
Ah, yes. He wrote the Mikado.
Yeah.
Take that, Gilbert and Sullivan.
Yeah.
And then a completely different sort of song by the band Surprise, a song that was partially in Turkish and German and English and Hebrew.
I was going to say, does Ralph Siegel primarily write in German or French? Does he, or English? Like, has he written in all the languages? Is this
all of them ever.
Is this
ever.
Man the Michelangelo of Eurovision?
Well, looking at the songs, that have gone to Eurovision, he's had things in German. I'm seeing things in French. I'm seeing things in English. I'm seeing things partially in Turkish, Italian. The man dabbles. I mean, he collaborates. Of course.
Yeah. I mean, he gets help. You know.
Yes, of course. But he dabbles.
He has his own Bernie Taupin. Basically.
Yeah.
Bernd Meinunger.
Meinunger, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, who collaborated with him on a lot of his biggest hits.
Genghis Khan and I think Papa Penguin and a lot of them. Whole lot of them. More recently, he's written for non-German countries.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Germany is just sick of him or won't let him, they won't let him back in or what. But
Luxembourg just doesn't participate anymore, so he can't market the songs to there. So he's dabbled.
He's had to flee from Germany to somewhere they can't extradite him.
Exactly.
His crimes against music.
Yeah.
Hey.
For the 2005 Maltese national final, he wrote 6 of the songs.
Oh.
None of them made the top 3.
Wow, for real?
Yeah, highest was 4th.
Oh, this man. Oh. Okay.
He was like 4th, 5th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 12th, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Also wrote for Switzerland a few times,
mm-hmm.
including...
A pair of songs for the late, great... first winner of Eurovision, Lisacia, who tried to come back to Eurovision in 2012 and 2013. She sent two very, very different songs in those 2 years. I figure if you're going to try, you know, cast a wide net. In 2012, the song C'était ma vie, or That's Been My Life, very sort of reflective, sweet, almost slightly theatrical ballad sung by this wonderful old woman, came in 8th in the national final, unfortunately, which is a bit of a shock because a lot of people were kind of hoping Mama Lise would come back to the contest. 2013, totally different song, and it was a song called All in Your Head, Lise Asia featuring New Jack. So yes, a hybrid hip-hop song.
That's Eurovision, I mean.
Yeah.
Can we just play a clip of that thing she says right at the beginning of the song?
Yeah. Dare.
Hello, how's the flow?
That's it. That's all I wanted to hear.
That is literally what it sounds like, is the Baha Men invited Julie Andrews to guest for just 2 seconds at the beginning of Who Let the Dogs Out.
Isn't it a beautiful thing?
As if she just waltzed in her full Mary Poppins getup and said, "Who let the dogs out?" It's great.
Who?
So how did that do?
It did not make it to the national final, actually. There was an open online selection process in Switzerland that year, and it did not quite make it all the way through. But it still lives on in all of our hearts, and you know, that is the memory that a lot of us have of the honorable Lise Asia. Recently, Ralph has been doing, basically kind of honing his energies on One Nation.
Apparently he is artist in residence to my favorite country.
Everybody's favorite microstate.
Czech Republic. Oh, sorry.
That microstate. Monaco.
No.
San Marino.
There we go. The most serene republic. So yeah, he wrote or co-wrote the songs for 2012 through 2015, and then again for 2017. Four out of those five songs featured the San Marinese muse herself, Valentina Minetta.
Yeah.
He gave us the Social Network
times.
Song.
Yeah.
He gave us the song Crisale de Vola, which nearly made it to the final. Missed out. He was 11th in the semifinal. The song Maybe, also Valentina, making it to the final of San Marino's first trip to the final.
Mm.
Chain of Lights with Michele Perniona and Anita Simoncini, who I believe we talked about in an earlier episode, the sort of transition from junior Eurovision to the big show.
Mm-hmm.
And then Valentina with Jimmy Wilson in 2017 was Spirit of the Night.
Oh. The man is still alive, right?
Absolutely.
The
man is, you know, he's still kicking.
It was so what happened? Like, was Spirit of the Night the last straw? Did it break him?
I feel like having seen him there, he seemed genuinely invested.
He cares. He truly does love
the
contest.
Yeah, he's really passionate about it.
But I mean, we haven't seen a song from him since 2017.
2017 was spectacularly poor result for him.
Yeah.
It was.
I mean, he got 1 point.
I believe so, and that was from Germany.
And it was from Germany.
Oh, yikes.
It was very low. So I don't know if he's just kind of stepping back and retiring or just kind of waiting for the right opportunity to strike, or we don't know if he's sending songs out to delegations as we speak.
Or he's working with Sirhat to make the best San Marinese entry.
Oh, they're going to combine in like a Power Rangers Zord.
Yeah.
It's going to be them, and it's going to be both Sirhat from 2019 and Sirhat from 2014. It's going to be a terror.
16.
He's going to be a terror.
I do wonder what he must think of Sirhat. Like, the two of them just kind of said, okay, San Marino's our country
now. The only two recent entries that he wasn't involved in were the Sirhat songs. Ooh. Is there beef?
Wait.
Do we have beef? Where's
the beef? Is there a Sirhat?
It's thawing in the fridge.
Sirhat Siegel beef. Mm. And if there isn't, we're going to invent one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You better believe it.
Hashtag Sirhat v. Siegel.
I'm introducing a conspiracy theory right now to the ESC world. Sirhat's sinus infection and sickness in 2019 at the 2019 contest. It was fungal spores, released by Ralph Siegel.
Dude, you're gonna get us sued.
Okay. I don't care. I've uncovered the truth here.
Allegedly.
Mm-hmm. All allegedly.
This is all hypothetical.
I can't wait to acquire a reputation of the Alex Jones of the Eurovision Circuit.
I don't know this
one. I don't think you want that. I really don't.
Are you going to take your shirt off?
No, I'm not. I am going to insist that the frogs are making me gay.
Is that what did it?
It is, yes.
Anyway.
I have some bone broth to drink.
So this has been sort of an overview of the man, the mystery, the legend, Ralph Siegel. Some incredible songs over the years, some less so. The contest has evolved, but Ralph is always Ralph, it kind of seems like, for better or for worse.
If we get to the end of this 2010 season, and we have a San Marinese song, 2020, this 2020 season, and we have a San Marinese song that is by neither of them, that's going to be breaking a streak.
You really will. I mean, granted, it should be said, 2018, that was the robots.
Oh, that... The robots were responsible for that one.
Yeah. I mean, Siegel cannot take any of the credit or blame for who we are.
They are who they are.
Yes, indeed. But you never know. I mean, San Marino, how's the flow? We'll find out soon enough.
How is the flow? Remember his name, Ralph Siegel. He'll probably be involved in Eurovision until the day he dies.
Yeah. No, he'll be back. He'll totally be back.
He'll be back.
In what capacity? Who knows?
Mm-hmm. For America. When America joins the contest, it's a Ralph Siegel joint.
Oh, I can
just see him marketing himself to an American producer. Like, I wrote 24 songs. I've won the contest. And they're like, well, we gotta trust him.
They're gonna say, no, we're gonna go with Max Martin instead.
Like, no one who speaks German could be an evil man.
Just let him produce the whole show. They'll cut to Ralph Siegel. Do we have a verdict?
He's the oracle on
that. I don't know, but we have the flow.
All right. Well, while you're listening to this, I hope that you have finished this episode and given us a good rating at least before you tried saying Ralph Siegel's name into a dark mirror 5 times. Hit us up on Twitter, and once again, at 12pointsUSA, 12pointsUSA.
Mm-hmm.
12pointsAmerica.com, hit us up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Sam and Eric are on Twitter.
Oh, that's true.
We are.
That's true. Eric is tweeting.
And ESC Insider.
Derek's on Twitter. He's not telling. And I'm not on Twitter, and I'll never tell. Until then, you know, until next time. I'm Danny.
I'm Eric.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Derek.
And America.
Stop listening now!
So we got Peter Gabriel, and we have the daughter from Roseanne, 15-year-old DJs.
That's a reference.
That's a deep cut there.
Wow.
Isn't that the daughter from Full House?
It's Full House, isn't it? Oh.
It was almost a perfect joke.
Swing and a miss.
Yikes. All right. You want to try that one again? No, we won't. We're moving on.
Yeah, cool.